From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday. My day started off on a positive foot. I was at the Brewers game last night. Got to watch the crew put up a big win against those dastardly Houston Astros. Never liked the cheaters so much. So it was good to see the crew put up a big win. Got to see Yelich hit a home run. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Hope, again, your day is going well. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a fine program lined up for you in short order this afternoon. In the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We're going to get into Donald Trump's nominee to be the U.S. Attorney for the D.C. District. You probably will not be able to get your head fully around how truly grotesquely incompetent this man is. And I could think of no one better than Mr. Jim Santel, a former U.S. attorney himself, to talk about who Ed Martin is and, more importantly, who he isn't, filling one of the most important U.S. attorney roles in the country if Trump has his way. Why you should be concerned, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court reinstituting in one of its emergency rulings today Donald Trump's ban on transgender service members in our military. We'll discuss that. So much coming. We've got special guests popping in as well. It's time for Milwaukee as a microcosm. We got Jeremy Janine coming in this hour. And of course, because it's Tuesday, we got Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media, joining us at 5:30 for the state slate, discussing some of the new legislation that Republicans have introduced in our state's legislature, as well as some of the Joint Finance Committee's opposition to key items in Governor Evers' budget proposal. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is state biennial budget season. But let's get into it. Congressman Mark Pocan, going viral on the socials today. He was in a House congressional hearing asking questions of Scott Bessent, who is our Treasury Secretary. I'm just going to let the clip play for itself. And Jacob, when we've heard just about enough, I'll start talking to you and we'll wrap it up. But this is pretty juicy. I'm going to let this go for a while. I want to point this out. Scott Bessent is a smart man. Scott Bessent knows all of the answers to the very simple questions that Congressman Mark Pocan is asking him in this clip. I want you to ask yourselves, why the hell will the guy not just answer the damn question? Let's take a listen.
So my concern is on the tariffs. Who pays tariffs, Mr. Secretary? No. Answer the questions I asked, please. I only have 5 minutes. Who pays tariffs?
Sorry? Well,
Who pays tariffs? Sorry. Mr. Secretary, please.
Excuse me.
The question is very simply, who pays tariffs, Mr. Chairman? I'd like him to answer that question. He wants to answer other questions.
Well, Congressman, if the Congressman, if the exporters, they dislike tariffs so much, why wouldn't they, if I think what you're trying to get me to say.
Did you remember the question? I'm not sure you did. Who pays tariffs?
It's a very complicated question.
Reclaiming my time. People pay tariffs, right? Reclaiming my time, Mr. Secretary. You clearly aren't going to answer it. I'm not going to waste my time having you go, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Chairman, I asked reclaiming my time.
Tariffs.
Mr. Chairman. And I asked to reclaim my time. Did I not? No, I said reclaiming my time because he's clearly not answering it. So, yeah, so as a small business owner, and unfortunately I'd like that time back since you failed to recognize me for 30 seconds. So I just recently from one of my suppliers got the tariff surcharge on things. And in addition to the tariff surcharge, guess what else got raised? American-made walnut plaques. That has nothing to do with tariffs, but companies take advantage and do that. So right now, we are getting screwed right and left because of the indiscriminate use of tariffs. That's the reality for Main Street. And you go off to Beverly Hills for private investor conferences and talk about crazy Ivan theories. Answer that. What is the crazy Ivan theory of tariffs that you mentioned at the summit?
Well, first of all, sir, I've had meetings with more than 50 small lenders. So I want to clarify that. I would also say that in game theory, strategic uncertainty, of which you seem to like the name Crazy Ivan.
Well, it's your words, correct? Didn't you use Crazy Ivan at the...
Well, you've used it five times. And
answer the question, Mr. Chairman.
I am saying the strategic uncertainty is part of negotiations. That should we say,
okay,
here's what we'll accept. Please take this.
Okay, I've got your answer. Thank you. I'm going to reclaim my time again. So for a small business, we don't have that luxury, right? When the ports are empty in California and we can't get goods and people are stocking up for Christmas goods, Crazy Ivan is great for, please don't take this offense, really rich people like you. But for people like me, it's not, right? That's what makes small businesses fail. That's what makes people lose their jobs. That's what makes the stock market tank. So I'll ask one more time, who pays tariffs?
Sir, the history would show that it is a complicated mix of who pays the tariffs over various times.
So that's exactly the problem. If your answer, and you are a very educated person, you have a very impressive bio, cannot answer the question who pays tariffs because you won't answer that, and you say it's a complicated issue, it's not complicated. Consumers pay Trump's tariff tax. That's the reality.
Woohoo! Let's all cheer for Congressman Mark Pocan talking some sense, some plain language to a snake oil salesman. Scott Bessent knows damn well that when an importer here in the United States of America brings in a good or a subcomponent part from abroad and they have to pay the tariff on that good that they're importing here, they have to pass portion, if not all of that additional cost onto a consumer. And we're already seeing that consumers are purchasing less, that there will be pain points. We haven't even begun to get a flavor truly of what's going to happen. Thousands is a new number invented here on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Thousands of small businesses will end up filing for bankruptcy because their consumers will not buy their products with the additional Trump tax added on, and they cannot themselves absorb the margin. Now, this Crazy Ivan thing, I just, as an economist, I want to talk about this. Scott Bessent, well, this is called strategic uncertainty. You don't go into negotiations and just tell the other side what you want. He's trying to argue that Donald Trump's completely flip-floppity, changes every gosh darn day tariff policy is somehow a good negotiating tactic. I'm here to tell you, as an economist, that what Scott Bessent is peddling, what the Trump apologists are peddling, is utter economic nonsense. Strategic uncertainty in negotiations also requires, at base, some sense from your counterparty that when you do come to an agreement, it will ultimately be honored. You see how those two things go together. You might engage in some strategic uncertainty, you know, holding your cards close to your vest, not telling your counterparty what your final bottom line is. Sure, yeah, that's part of negotiating, but no one wants to negotiate with an insane person or a person who lies like they draw oxygen in. It doesn't work. They will not reach agreement with you. And like the Chinese, they might not even bother coming to the bargaining table. Now, all of this is but pretext and context for yet another Donald Trump flip-flop on tariffs. First of all, do you not recall Howard Lutnick at all these different people saying, we're going to have 90 deals in 90 days. We got 25 deals on the table. They're coming to us. Donald Trump talking about all these country kissing his butt, all of that, and how great all these deals were going to be. Well, today Donald Trump said, we're not doing any deals. What do we need to do deals for? We don't need them. They need us. Please, ladies and gentlemen, while you cannot trust a single thing that Donald Trump or any of his cabinet secretaries say about economic policy, what we can track in good faith and objectively from day to day is how the target constantly moves, how the justification for all of this chaos changes on a day-to-day basis, how he was going to make us all rich on January 21st, and now it's just a period of pain. All of this, keep your eye on how the rationalizations, the justifications, and the overall talking points literally day-to-day change. This isn't deal-making. This isn't negotiation. What this is real, true economic pain for the middle class and for small business owners, and the absolute callousness of Donald Trump and millionaires and billionaires like Howard Lutnick, Elon Musk, and Donald Trump to the plight of working people and farmers, especially family farmers, here in Wisconsin. Absolutely terrible. Now, if that weren't bad enough, as I often say, of course, Senator Ron Johnson had to make things so much very, very worse. I don't know if Ron Johnson's trying to script some sort of biography of himself that's like, I'll say the most outlandish and, yes, cruel things and act as if it is completely reasonable policy. He did that yet again, an absolutely shocking headline coming out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, how Ron Johnson is saying to so many Wisconsin families, forget you. I'm not worried about whether or not you have health insurance, whether or not you're healthy and well. All I care about is squeezing the federal budget down so that I can kill these critical programs that so many Wisconsinites rely upon, like Medicaid. I'm going to explain what Ron Johnson said when we come back. We've got Jeremy Janine joining us shortly for a little segment we like to call Milwaukee as Microcosm. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. Here is Ron Johnson's quote, because gross. The mistake people are making is that they're looking at programs that spend tens, hundreds of billions of dollars and saying, we can't touch that, can't touch that. I would go through 2,400 lines and go, justify spending. He goes on, we certainly shouldn't have a budget reconciliation that actually expands the deficit, and that appears to be the path that we are on. Balancing the federal budget must not come at the expense of those depend on these benefits, meaning Medicaid, for their health and economic security. Not what Ron Johnson thinks. He thinks we should just go ahead and cut the heck out of that Medicaid. People don't actually need that. Let them just dog-eat-dog it out. We'll talk more about that. We got Jeremy Janine coming in from Milwaukee as a microcosm. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.